Luke 17, verse 7 through 10. Now, which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, after he comes in from the field, come immediately and recline at the table, eat? On the contrary, will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded. So you too, when you do all the things which were commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us into your presence, God. Today, even though we're just gathered over Zoom, we thank you that we can still take the time to pray and to seek your face and to bring our lives to you this morning. We invite you, God, to come and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Often, we picture Jesus as this, at least I do, we picture Jesus as this gentle, kind, gracious, easy to be with kind of a person. Don't we? And how you picture Jesus, nice, loving, gentle, kind. And it's true, right? Scripture does say that he is gentle and humble in heart. That's how he describes himself. We see the little children running to him, and he is happy to bless them. The sinners come to him. They're drawn to him. They find friendship with him. But when we read through the Gospels, that's not always the picture of Jesus that we get in the Scriptures. Sometimes he does some things and he says some things that's very demanding and sometimes offensive, and sometimes it will come across as harsh. Let me give you an example. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 26 says this. Now, large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Let's read that again. Luke 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So I can just picture Jesus, all this crowd is gathering after him. And maybe, you know, like for us pastors now, we love large crowds. You know, we love it when large crowds come, when our church is full and there's a lot of people coming to our church. We think, wow, we must be doing something right. But if you remember, P. Sam said a few weeks ago that he's been on this call with Os Guinness, and he said, hey, if your church is over 200 people, you should be very suspicious of what you're doing as a ministry. And I think Jesus has the same mindset. He's looking at the crowd and thinking, man, this is not right. They don't understand what I'm saying to them. Right? They don't understand what it means to be a follower. To be my follower, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So he turns to them and he says, hey, if you're coming after me right now, but you don't hate your own life, you don't hate your family, you don't hate all these other things, you're not worthy to be my disciple. He didn't coddle the crowd. He didn't cater to the crowd. He wanted them to know what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you know. And I still have trouble with this passage. You know, I have a wife and I have children, and I know that we're meant to interpret this as in comparison to our love for God. Our love for our family should be that even of, you know, hatred, because the level is so different. But we can't just gloss over this. You know, what does it mean? Hate your own father, mother, wife, children. So, you know, he's demanding, you know, if you're following him and you like his teachings and he's giving you bread and, you know, he's multiplying food. And then he says this, I think it's meant to kind of strike you a little bit. I remember talking to a brother at church, and we were just talking about GIC. I just recently finished another GIC class, which is great. But with this particular person, we're talking about all the GIC requirements. Most of you on this call, on this Zoom call, you probably know already. You've probably done GIC. And at SP, we make it a little bit, not that much, but we make it a bit tough, right? We ask them to memorize all 13 verses word for word. And we emphasize coming on time and attending every session. And we have these requirements, right? If you miss two sessions, you need to retake the whole course. You're absent for twice, and it counts. I mean, if you're late for twice, it counts as an absence. So we're talking about all these things, and he had done it already. But he was just, I mean, we're just bantering, and he was like, oh man, that's be so tough. Like, what, where's the grace? You know, why is this so like strict? And he asked jokingly, he's like, what would Jesus say? You know, Jesus, you know, he would it be so like harsh? And then, and when he asked the question, initially I was like, oh yeah, what would Jesus, are we not being gracious? Are we not being like Jesus? Because we have these requirements. And then I begin to kind of think about what Jesus says in the scriptures. And then these passages came to mind. Passages like Luke 14. Passages like what he says to the young, rich young ruler. He says, hey, one thing you still lack, you need to sell everything you have. Give everything you have. And then come follow me. And I mean, it all happened very quickly. And then the realization of what Jesus would say dawned on me. And I turned to him and I said, actually, I think Jesus would be way more demanding. Jesus would forget about memory verses. Forget about coming to class on time. He would say, give me your whole life. Right? If you don't follow me with your whole life and you hate your own life and you sell everything you have, you're not worthy of following me. And we just, I think both of us came to this realization like, oh, shoot. Like, Jesus would be way more demanding than our GIC requirements. And this passage today, I think, is another example of something quite surprising that Jesus says. You know, we wouldn't expect Jesus to say something like this. But basically, he's saying to you and me, he's saying, you are unworthy slaves. You're unworthy slaves. And when you obey God, you're only doing what you ought to have done. Therefore, do not expect something in return, right? Just come to him. Do what you need to do as a servant. And don't expect something in return. I don't know what you think, but me, when I read that, it is surprising. Because often, I think in our Christian thinking, we're taught to identify ourselves as children, right? Are we God's children? Yes, right? We are loved and accepted unconditionally. We don't do anything to earn his approval, right? He calls us his children. We have a right to become children of God. We've been adopted as sons. Are we also his bride? Yeah, we're his bride, right? He is the groom. We are the bride. The church is the bride. And there's this passionate delight and love and this excitement that God feels over us. And we're taught to identify as ourselves as his children, as his bride, and also his friends, right? Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And so we're taught to kind of identify or view ourselves as children, bride, friends, probably primarily children. But at the same time, we are his servants. Are we his servants? I think the answer, are we his children? Are we his bride? Are we his friends? Are we his servants? The answer is all of the above. We are all of them. We are his children and we are his bride and we are his friends, but at the same time, we are his servants. We're bond servants. Paul always in his letters says, I'm a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Basically, the same word as slave, where I'm a bond servant of Jesus Christ. And it's all of the above. You know, even I think, as I imagined before, children, bride, friends, servants, all of them have this idea of being obedient. Even for friendship, you know what Jesus says, which is so interesting to me whenever I think about it. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I'm telling you to do, right? If you obey everything that I'm commanding you to do, you are my friends. And that's the interesting kind of friendship, right? You wouldn't say to any of your normal earthly friends, hey, you are my friend if you do what I'm commanding you to do. But I think I kind of get it. What Jesus is saying is, hey, I'm going to treat you as a friend, but you don't treat me like a friend. You don't come to me with this casual attitude of whatever, I can do it if I want to, I cannot do it if I don't want to, because we're friends. I think Jesus is saying, I'm going to treat you like a friend. I'm going to reveal to you the things that slaves don't normally won't be privy to. But and so I said, I'm going to, open up my heart to you and share with you the secrets and the plans of what I'm doing. But don't come to me with that casual attitude. You know, like a boss can be your friend as long as you're not rebellious and causing trouble. Right? He can be friendly, but you come to him with this understanding that you're meant to do the things that you need to do. Even as sons, children, Jesus, the perfect model of a son, says, hey, I only do what the father says I need to do. Right? He says, I have, when the disciples are hungry, they're eating food and they want to offer some to Jesus. And Jesus says, I don't need it. I have food that is better than physical food, and it's to do the will of my father and to complete his work. Right? So he understood as a son, his role was to do the work of the father. And even as a bride, I haven't spent too much time thinking about this, but Paul, I think it's Paul, emphasizes how he wants to make pure brides, brides that are not tainted and disobedient, but he wants us to become pure as a bride of Jesus Christ, in the idea of being obedient. So yeah, all of the above. Sons, yes, we are loved and accepted, and we need to know that. Bride, yes, we need to know his passionate love for us. And friendship, we need to know that we can be his, that Jesus can be our best friend, and that he's always with us. But never forget, we are his servants. And that's a good thing. He is our master, he is our Lord, he is our King. When we say that, when we say Jesus is Lord, we're saying, hey, I'm going to do whatever he calls me to do, and I need to obey. Our generation, I'm including myself in this, because when I was a young person, this is what the older generation would say. They would say that, the younger generation, what are they known by? And, they did a survey, they asked all these older leaders what they think about this, a younger generation, and I was part of that younger generation at the time. And the speaker gave us a hint that the word starts with the letter E. And so all these young people would say, we'll try to guess, you know, maybe, or maybe excellent, or I can't think of the other good E words, you know, but they're coming up with all these good E words that they would use to describe their own generation. And the speaker gave us the answer. And they said, the older generation, this is the one word that kept coming up. And that word was entitled. Entitled. We have this sense of entitlement. We feel like we, and what I want to get at today is we feel like we need to be appreciated for what we do, right? Our younger generation, we don't like it when the company doesn't acknowledge our work, when the boss doesn't appreciate and give feedback, and you know, we want to be appreciated for what we do. We want to be recognized, and that's quite important for us. And I think it's good to appreciate the work of someone that you know that works for you and recognize. But it's not always good, you know, it's not always helpful to demand acknowledgement and appreciation. Well, while that's good if it comes from the boss, from the person that's working, the attitude is good if your attitude is, I'm just gonna do my work well. I'm gonna work hard, do what I need to do to serve and to make this company good and do my very best. And I think with God too, sometimes we come with this attitude of entitlement, like we want him to coddle us and we want him to accept us just as we are and just always have this open-armed, gracious, kind. And it's hard because those are true. God does accept us with open arms and there's kindness and there's grace, but at the same time, he's demanding. And he's very straight up and he says, well, you need to do this. What I'm telling you to do, you need to walk in obedience. And when you do, don't walk and act as if you've done something great. Just understand you are an unworthy slave and you just did what you ought to do. And so just come with a humble attitude and an obedient heart. And hopefully that humbles us a little bit and makes us kind of reflect and re-examine our attitude and go, reflect, humble us a bit, reflect on our own attitude of how we go to God. Do we take God too casually sometimes? You know, do we come to God too nonchalantly at times and just think, well, he's the this nice father that's just going to accept us. And we just kind of maybe take it for granted, and we don't take very seriously this issue of obedience, this issue of sacrifice, lordship. You know, so this morning, let's just go to God, and let's go to God not as children, you know, not as a bride, not as his friends. But let's go to him this morning specifically as slaves. Meditate on that when Jesus says in verse 10, so you too, when you do all the things which were commanded you, hey, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. And let's repent. Let's repent of this attitude of entitlement. Kind of this demanding of recognition and appreciation and an acknowledgement for what we have done. But you know, let's repent if we have that kind of an attitude. And let's just go to him as humble bond servants, asking him, Lord, Master, what do you want us to do? Okay, so I don't know who's leading us in worship. Is it Wesley? Yeah, I think it's Wesley. Let's go to worship. Wesley will lead us in a song. And let's just meditate. Let's go to him humbly.
Take delight in me. light in me. Dear 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 light in me.
Belong in your presence. I finally found where I belong. Just to be with you.
Thank you, Wesley. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Help us to have this attitude, God. And to not demand something in return, God, when we walk in obedience to you, and to understand our position and our role as your servant, God. So I pray that you would come and speak to us, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those that have cancer or going through chemo radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for strength for our brothers and sisters to continue fighting, and that there will be breakthrough and healing in these areas. Let's pray. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for those in our church, church family members, friends who are sick, but also they need to be saved. Let's pray for God's healing. come upon them, but also salvation, that God would reveal His mercy and grace to these people. Let's pray. Next slide, just various infirmities that our church members and family members are going through. Let's pray for healing for these. Let's pray for our church members that are looking for a job. Let's pray for provision and guidance and favor and the perfect job to be. Let's pray for. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. We need to pray for the government as they navigate this fourth wave of COVID-19. Let's pray for guidance and even if the government officials are not, let's pray for God's wisdom to be upon them and anointing to be upon them. Let's pray against the wealth gap that good decisions will be made to combat this wealth gap. Let's pray for all the churches. Let's pray for revival in this city. Let's pray for all these different ministries that we partner with that's listed on the slide. And let's also pray for domestic helpers in this time. It's a difficult time for them. There's nowhere to go. There's the gathering ban of two people and it's getting cold. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for families in distress. Let's just pray for God's grace. Let's pray for our staff together. Let's pray for Pastor Sam as our father of this house. And let's pray for all the other pastors, ministry staff, admin staff. Let's pray that we would, each person would minister and lead out of their own intimacy with God, that we would lead out of a place of abiding. Let's pray for joy and peace to fill our hearts. And let's pray that there will be unity amongst the staff. So let's pray for the staff. Pray for our hospitality ministry, welcoming and barista. Even though church is closed right now, let's pray that they would be able to have used this time to for training and just develop a good heart of love for the church members. Let's pray for Pastor Andrew and Ash as they lead these teams. Let's pray for worship, sound, and AV. During this online period, it's myself and Pastor Kenny and Yiling who are on this team. Let's pray for this online team, and we took Bob as well. But also, let's pray for the regular teams for their personal lives as well. And definitely the worship team, that our public worship would flow out of our private worship, our worship sound and AV team. For our house churches, this is our last week before the break. Let's pray for a really good house church session. Most likely, they're all meeting over Zoom. So let's pray that despite the limitations of Zoom, that it will be a very meaningful time and a really powerful time and a fruitful time for all these different houses. Father, thank you so much for giving us this morning to come before you. We are thankful for this opportunity we have to come in your word, and together, God, give us a good heart today, God. Thank you that your presence goes with us. We love you, we worship you, we praise you. Give this day to you, God. Thank you.